You're listening to a sermon by Evan Kreider, recorded on Sunday, January 9th, 2022, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Nobody knows when Epiphany was first observed, how it was observed, or what it signified to whom. From the beginning, Epiphany meant different things to different groups of Christians. The Greek word was first used by Christians in the 2nd century pastoral letter we call 2 Timothy, where it means manifestation or appearance, the appearance of God as Christ. And this general meaning has opened the door for varying ways of thinking. Clement of Alexandria, writing sometime around the year 200, tells us that Christians celebrated both Christ's birth and Christ's baptism on Epiphany, January 6. In the late 4th century, Greek-speaking Christians were generally celebrating only the birth of Christ on January 6th, because they felt that this was the ultimate manifestation of God on earth. But some were adding the story of the first miracle at the marriage of Cana, since it offered yet another manifestation of who this Jesus was. In the Latin West, as Christians were increasingly celebrating Christ's birth on December 25th, they began commemorating the Magi on Epiphany, understanding this story as a manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. So Epiphany is an unusual feast day. Being a traditionalist, I'm going to focus on the story of the Magi, or the magicians, or the wise men, or the kings, or the scientists, whatever. Today's story is another of the delightful infancy narratives, stories that were passed from one generation to the next, being refined as they were told and retold for some 80 years before each was finally preserved in writing in one gospel or another, either in the one commonly called Matthew or in the one called Luke. Since this story is a childhood legend, we do not need to ask scientific questions of it, like, why did nobody else see the star? Or, how in the world can one star guide you to a specific house? Or, if they could not find the city, how could they hope to find the house? Or, why did these men even conclude that the star signaled the birth of a king? Or, if Herod was so scared, why didn't he have his men follow those foreigners? You see, these questions did not concern the storytellers. Instead of worrying about the story's problems, they enjoyed its profound truths, truths they believed were worth remembering. And that is why this story has been preserved for us. Today's story of the Magi reminds us that searching is important. Few people discover anything purely by accident. Discoveries result from diligent searches. During a search, you might discover something you had not anticipated, but you were nevertheless searching. Our story assumes that these Magi were not being casual in their search, in their detailed study of the heavens. And listeners to the story would have assumed that these men believed they could learn from the gods by studying the heavens. People hearing the story would have assumed that the stars, like dreams we heard about, might indeed have signaled something important. During the time of Christ, regardless of religion, it seems, most people made sacrifices in the hope of pleasing whichever god they worshipped, either Yahweh in Jerusalem or some local god elsewhere. The Greeks and Romans, for instance, even tried to interpret what the rising smoke from their sacrifice might signal, whether their offering was being accepted or not. These people assumed that divine powers were trying to communicate with them, trying to guide people on earth, and that people must do our best to pay attention. So today's story reminds me to open my mind to new ways of listening to Yahweh, not just remaining in the same old ruts of my thinking and searching for the rest of my numbered days. Today's story also reminds me that possibly my culture, my faith, my people may not have all the answers. After all, nobody in Jerusalem knew what had happened, or when, or what might be so special about it, but they did learn from people they considered pagan foreigners. From those pagan foreigners, they learned that something might be happening right under their noses, and that it really concerned them. This story therefore reminds me that I, too, may have much to learn from foreign cultures, and especially from sincere individuals who are searchers, even if they are from other faiths. Yes, I believe that the Christian faith is the best, but I have much to learn from other cultures and other faiths as well, particularly those with written traditions, which have been carefully considered over time and tested and agreed upon by a vast number of people. Today's story also reminds me that while some government officials pretend to be doing the right thing for the right reason, they are all too willing to use force, if need be, to ensure that they, like Herod, remain in power. Ironically, we are still learning what Trump and his supporters hope to accomplish on January 6th. Yes, on Epiphany. But now, let us think about light. I hope that each of us paused, at least briefly, to treasure once again the symbolism of light as we celebrated Christmas on these darkest nights of the year. In a way, I like to imagine the Christmas story opening with light. I like to imagine that there was an extra glow when the angels spoke to Mary. I also like to imagine that light must have burst into the darkness as the angels interrupted the shepherds' long evening. Epiphany also features light. Light shining in the darkness. Not a blinding light that all can see, but light, nevertheless. In a few weeks, on Groundhog Day, February 2nd, our liturgical calendar gives us the Feast of Purification and the Feast of Presentation in the Temple. This also commemorates the time when the elderly Simeon declared that Jesus would be a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory for thy people Israel. The primitive church clung to these words, just as they embraced today's Epiphany story. Just one century after the death of Jesus, this small but growing religious sect already included many Gentiles. I like to imagine that Simeon's words and that this Epiphany story made these Gentile believers feel as though they, too, were fully included. In this morning's story, are seekers found when seeking? Are seekers had an epiphany when they found? Are seekers believed when they had that epiphany? I will end with the beloved words written by the Johannine community, those people who provided the books we attribute to John. They wrote, "The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not stop it. Thanks be to God."